chapter 8. We're going to read beginning with verse number 1. This is the giving season. We're going to talk about the grace of giving. The grace of giving. This is 2 Corinthians 8. Verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now that's King James language for him saying, I want you to pay attention to how the Macedonian churches, the grace of God was upon them and how it was evident upon those churches. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. He's just saying, I witnessed it. I bear record of it. I saw this happening among these Macedonian Christians, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Praise God. So the Apostle Paul is telling these Corinthian Christians, you need to look at the example of these different Macedonian churches and the kind of grace of God that was upon them. He said, now I notice that you have all these amazing gifts. He lists them there. When he describes, you know, you've got faith. This is verse 7. You've got faith. You've got the gift of utterance. You've got knowledge. And you've got love. But I want you to abound in this grace also. And he was talking about the grace of giving. The grace of generosity. Everywhere the Apostle Paul traveled, he preached the gospel, of course. He wanted them, first of all, to have a personal experience with the Lord Jesus. And then he wanted it to be practical. He wanted it to be lived out and in a lot of different gifts in their life. And one of those gifts was generosity and giving. And so he preached this doctrine to them, the importance of letting God touch your heart so much so that there's this overflow of giving and generosity in your heart. Verse 9, he uses the example of the Lord. You know that the Lord, the grace of the Lord was upon the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet he for your sake became poor, that ye through poverty might be rich. And he was speaking to the Corinthian church, the Corinthian believers, who had all these different gifts. But he was saying, here's a gift you don't have that you need to develop in your life. And it's the grace of giving. The grace of giving. And he describes this. This is a work of God in your heart. This is not, it's a reflection of what God has done in your heart. It's a response to the grace of God on your heart. Now, when it comes to giving, You can give out of duty, or it can be a burden to you. It can be, oh, the preacher wants us to give an offering, or we need to give to this particular need. And we bring up projects often around here, different needs, different projects that we are. The motivation is to touch as many people's lives as we can. We pour out so that we might be able to follow the example of the Lord, who gave of himself for all of us, that we might know him. And so if you're giving out of duty or out of, you know, being compelled to give, I've never believed in begging and offerings. I just don't believe in it. I don't believe in putting pressure on people to give in offerings. I don't believe it's biblical to pressure people to give. I believe you make the need known and you ask people, would you participate in this? As the Lord has provided for you, as the Lord puts it on your heart, then you give. Let it be the grace of giving. Let it be the touch of God upon your heart that causes you to be willing to give. And as the grace of God is upon your heart, God has just poured into you so many wonderful things. And if you've experienced that, then you're looking for ways to express it. And you do that through a testimony. You do that through maybe a kind word to someone. And you also can express what God has done for you by being generous. Amen. By giving. And to realize that it's a blessing. I read about a preacher that had a 3-point sermon on giving. Point number one was make all you can. Point number two was save all you can. And point number three was give all you can. And there was one of the elders in the church who said, I love point one and point two, but number three, when you got on that point, you messed up the whole sermon when you talked about giving all you can. No, that's an important part of our walk with the Lord, because he has given to us so much. He has poured so much into us. The grace of God, really the word grace is just another word for gift, for giving, and what God has done for all of us. There's a verse in Acts 20 and verse 35 that it's called the Supreme Beatitude. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's what some have called the supreme beatitude. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And if you serve the Lord any length of time at all, you understand that. You understand what a blessing it is to be able to give. And I know that, you know, as far as our church is concerned, there's a lot of generous folks in our church. We have missionaries like we did Sunday night for the Innocents, and we were able to give them a very generous offering for the work that they're doing in the Gambia. And that's always been our history. Here at the church, there's always been this spirit of giving, and it's because of what he's done for us. It's because of the grace of God upon our lives that we are compelled. We look for ways as an expression of the goodness of God that's been sent our way. We look for ways to pour out of the grace of God. Someone said, miserly people are miserable people. Generous people are joyous people. Amen. Glory to God. Generous people are joyous people. And that was the Macedonian Christians. But notice what it says about them. It says in verse 2 there, how in great trial of affliction. Obviously, Corinthian church faced a lot of persecution, a lot of upheaval in the city of Corinth whenever the gospel was presented there and preached there, and the church was up against all kinds of challenges. But in their great trial of affliction, mixed in there was the abundance of joy, mixed in with all of that affliction. And then in their deep poverty, I mean, they were scraping the bottom. They didn't have much at all. I mean, it was the bottom of the barrel. And their deep poverty unto the riches of their liberality. Well, in our modern language, that just means they didn't have much, but they gave generously of what they had. They gave generously of what they had. And that's why that those churches were so filled with joy. And out of those churches, the Philippian church was the most generous. And the whole book of Philippians, the whole theme of the book of Philippians is joy and rejoicing, because they were the most generous church. Amen. So there was a joy in their heart that couldn't be stopped by the persecution or the deep poverty or all that they were going through. They just poured out generously in spite of the fact that they did not have much. And as a result of that, they were a church known for their joy. Praise God for that. Amen. You know, it's one thing to give out of your abundance. It's another thing to give from the bottom of the barrel when you don't have much, when you don't have hardly anything. You're scraping the bottom. That's sacrificial giving. I don't know how many of us have ever gotten to that point that we have given at that level of really giving sacrificially, but I'm telling you, you get the attention of the heart of God when you are willing to scrape the bottom of the barrel and give generously. Amen. Praise God. Amen. They learned this from our Lord, who gave of himself, who for the joy that was set before him, this is Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He did it with joy. He laid down his life with joy. He endured the cross with joy. Praise God. All that God has done for you, all the ways that God has blessed you and provided for you, have you ever given to the point that it hurt? Given sacrificially? Someone said, and when I read this phrase, it's pretty convicting. Ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. Well, that's a pretty convicting thought, that you need to pay the price and give generously. Be a generous giver. I read about this Christian businessman that was traveling in the nation of Korea with a missionary. He saw a young man pulling a plow and an older man with his hand on the handle. I've told you the story about me being the mule for Papaw Adam. He couldn't get the plow to go through the hard ground. And so he called me over and said, "Would you let me tie you up to this plow and you pull and I'll guide the plow?" So I was the mule for the day. But this Christian businessman in Korea, he saw a young man pulling a plow, and the older man with his hands on the handle. He thought it looked kind of peculiar and strange, and so he took a picture of it. He said to the missionary, "What are they doing? Why are they plowing like that?" The missionary said, "Well, those two men are from our church. And when we were building our church, they didn't have anything to give. The only thing of value they had was their ox. And they sold their ox and gave to help build the church." And that man was so convicted that he went back and he showed the picture to his pastor. And he said to his pastor, I've never given sacrificially before. I think I'm going to start doing some plowing myself. I'm going to dig in and give some sacrificial gifts. When you give to that level, then you're identifying with Jesus. You're identifying with Christ, who laid everything down and gave everything so that you and I can know what it means to be saved. Praise God. Amen. I believe that giving is not just a financial thing. I believe it's very much a spiritual thing. And it's important to be directed of the Spirit of God. And when a special offering is being taken, I don't know about you, but most of the time, if we have a missionary coming, I'm thinking about the offering long before the church service. I'm thinking about it earlier in the day. I'm figuring out, do I need to go to the bank or do I? Now that we've got this online giving thing, it makes it easy. And I'll usually say to my wife, what about this? You want to give this amount? Could we? And we usually agree on the amount. Sometimes I just do it and then tell her later. But I do believe that giving is a work of the Spirit of God, and that we should be prompted by the Spirit. We should obey the voice of the Spirit. Ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? In what way do you want me to give to this work or to this missionary or to this need? And now, I don't think that giving spontaneously is a bad thing. I don't mean that at all. I don't think it's careless to be spontaneous. I think listen to the voice of the Spirit and give generously from your heart. Like as a response to all the good things that God has done for you. I've been in church services where the offering was a move of God. I mean, it was a move of God. There have been offerings during our missions conferences over the years where I have been astonished at the offering. A number of times I have just been, wow, that is just incredible. That had to be God that put it on the hearts of people to give generously. So giving can be a work of the Spirit of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Always gets quiet when you talk about giving, but that's all right. Be like the Philippian Christians and get the joy of the Lord that comes because of generosity. Amen. You know, you can give for the wrong reasons. You really can. As I already mentioned, I don't believe, as a pastor, in getting in the pulpit and begging and pulling and pressuring people for money. I've never believed in it. I've never done it in all of these years. I just don't believe in it. But I do believe that we should respond to the voice of the Spirit of God. When the need is known and the opportunity is given, that we should respond to the voice of the Spirit of God. Amen. But you can give for the wrong reasons. According to the Word of God, you can give, number one, you can give to be seen of men, to draw attention to yourself. Jesus warned about that in Matthew 6. When you do your doest thy alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. That's God's word. Amen. And so we don't make a big deal about it. We don't make a big show about it. I don't believe that's biblical in giving. Amen. Not to be seen of men. You can also give reluctantly. I don't believe you should give reluctantly. If you don't want to give it, don't give it. Amen. Don't give reluctantly. Every man according as he is purposed in his heart, so let him give. I don't know. Purposing in your heart is, to me, that's you've considered it in your heart. Maybe even like I mentioned, maybe through a few hours even before the offering, but you purpose in your heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, not being compelled or pressured to do it. God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. You see the connection to generosity and the joy of the Lord. Giving and joy. And it is a joy to be able to give. It is a blessing to be able to give. To give to people that are in need. To give to ministries. What a blessing it is to give to your local church. What a blessing it is to give in every area that you see those of your brothers and sisters that are in need. To minister to them and to give to them like we're asking everyone to do for the Spencer family during this Christmas season. Amen. To give generously. Amen. Some people give because they're attempting to buy off their debt to God. I've heard someone just recently say they gave some money and they said, well, maybe this will get me in better position with the man upstairs. No, probably not. Probably not. Get your heart right with God. Let the grace of God be poured out upon your heart and your life. And then give out of a heart that has been touched by the grace of God. That's what the Macedonian Christians did. That's what the church at Philippi did. Verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. That's where it started. They first gave them their own selves to the Lord. That's where the spirit of generosity begins. When you surrender yourself to the Lord and you allow the grace of God to become real in your life, then there's going to be this overflow, an outpouring of the goodness of God. First, gave themselves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Praise God. He's done so much for us. You can never outgive the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I do believe you can give yourself out of a financial mess. I do believe you can. If you'll listen to the voice of the Spirit of God. God can help you if you put your trust in the Lord. One more verse, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. And so out of the heart of God, his sacrifice, his giving, the grace of God is poured out upon us, and then in response to that, we want to do something. We are moved to action, to be a vessel that God can use to pour out, to touch the lives of as many people as we can. Amen. That's the grace of giving. That's what happens in the life of a Christian. Amen. Now remember, I was in Bible school, and I came home from Bible school and was working in a welding shop. And I was the only Christian that was working in the little circle, the little crew I was working with. And they talked all the time to me about, so you're going to be a preacher. Boy, that's going to be nice. You're just going to get up there for an hour on Sunday, and then they're going to take up all that money and give it to you. That's the world's concept. That's how the world thinks about ministry. They have no understanding or concept at all about the work of the Lord and how that when tithes and offerings are received, that it's doing a lot of things. It's touching a lot of people as we pour out and pour out and pour out on a regular basis around here, always month after month. We're looking for ministry, ways we can minister to the lives of people. Amen. And of course, that costs money to do a lot of the things that we do. And it's all for the glory of God. And over the years, when we present the need, tell the church about the ministry, what we want to do, we have never had a problem being able to see the funds come that we need to accomplish that work or that ministry. It is an amazing thing that God has touched our hearts, and so we just give. We give. Amen. And we receive joy from doing it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we don't dread the Christmas season. Instead, we see it as an opportunity to bless our families, our friends, our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen. Praise God for His word. Father, thank You for the grace of giving. And Lord, for the way that You have poured out upon us so many wonderful blessings. We're so grateful. And I just pray, Lord, that during this Christmas season, that we'll keep things in right perspective. We won't just get caught up just in the gift giving, just for the sake of giving, but Lord, that we'll see it for what it is, that You have blessed us, and that You've given us opportunities to be a blessing to a lot of people. Minister, Lord, in our lives so that we can touch the lives of a lot of people for the glory of God. And we just thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.